You're listening to The Business Breakfast, and we're speaking now to a Dubai-based clean energy company that's recently raised $1 million through crowdfunding. In a week, we're joined by Daniel Zivietz. He is the chief executive of Enerware. Daniel, thanks so much for coming in and joining us.
Thank you, and good morning.
Before we talk about the crowdfunding, the money aspect, do you want to give us the one-minute elevator pitch of what Enerware is and does?
Yeah, Enerware is a solar company, and we specialize in temporary power. So power for people that don't have a grid connection, similar to what the large generator rental companies do here in the region. If you have
Aggreko, for instance.
Yeah, Aggreko is the biggest one worldwide. They were kind of our inspiration when we started in 2012. There's an awful lot of people here who have a labor camp, who have a construction site office, who sit on an island, or even in the middle of the Jebel Ali Free Zone, and for some reason don't have a grid connection. That's simply something that happens here more often than in other parts of the world. It's typically temporary, from 6 months to 3 years, and the standard solution is diesel generators, which are extremely expensive and the dirtiest form of power generation on this planet. And we provide the same reliable power service, but at a cost and an environmental impact that is much, much lower. So that's our elevator pitch.
So why were you looking to raise money?
Well, first thing, solar is a very capital-intensive business. If you take a look at a diesel generator, it costs very little up front. In fact, you can rent it at every street corner in Dubai. There's about 40 rental providers. But then you pay through the nose for the fuel. With the oil prices rising again, diesel prices are coming up. And since the subsidies were removed on the diesel price and the cap was removed on the diesel price about 2 years ago, that means oil price goes up, diesel price goes up. Very, very simple, and that makes up 70 to 80% of the cost. With solar, we can replace this diesel fuel with basically no operating costs other than cleaning, but you need to pay everything up front. And in the temporary power business, that's a limiting factor. People don't want to invest in something with a 20-year lifetime when they need it for 6 months. So we provide that service, but we need to raise a lot of money to buy that equipment and then provide the power on a temporary basis.
So you've just raised that money through the crowdfunding platform, an online platform, Beehive. Why did you go crowdfunding rather than banks? Did you try banks?
Yeah, sure. We've been around since 2012, in fact, but that still in the UAE banking world does not really make us eligible for bank funding, right? Banks have had fairly bad experiences or recent trouble in the SME sector in general. And as a startup, you're at the lowest rung of the ladder in terms of access to finance. In fact, that's the major impediment, I would say, to starting up a new business in Dubai. So we've historically relied completely on equity funding. And this is really the first time we've gone out for third party for debt financing. And since that wasn't easily or cheaply available through the banks, we tried the 21st century method. And one of those is crowdfunding. And this actually went very, very well.
Here in the Business Breakfast studio, a million dirhams sort of causes a sharp intake of breath, but in real money it's not very much. I mean, you get sort of top managers here and lawyers who earn that in 1 year. In a high-tech equipment focused industry, you say the money will be used for operational expansion, including solar hybrid power generators as well as solar rooftop systems. I mean, that sounds pretty expensive. How long will $1 million last you?
Not very long at all. This was a small test balloon, really. We wanted to try. This was one of the largest transactions that have been conducted on the Beehive site, and we simply wanted to test the appetite. Also keep in mind that crowdfunding in the region here is new, and that these businesses, there's two of them at the moment, two of these platforms are still building their investor base. They're going through the regulatory process, so it's not like I could raise 100 million dirhams on the platform right now, but we did one of the largest transactions. It was successful, and we believe we can raise more this way.
So are you going to repeat the same thing again and try for a larger amount?
Yes, probably.
So what kind of work did you have to do? How much of your own information did you need to disclose? What's involved?
The kind of things that I think make a lot of sense. There's a company profile. We provided our financials. Beehive sent an auditor to check out our financials and our business. All things that make sense and that you would expect a bank to do, but the big difference is speed. The entire process took from, I think we had the first conversation in November, but we really only started at the beginning of this year, and we had the money in the bank yesterday, 2 days after the auction had closed. if you compare that to the average time it takes to even open a bank account in this country, and we're trying right now for a new subsidiary company, I can tell you this is light speed compared to the normal speed of banking in this country.
So you get a whole stack of money put in your account. You get a lot of names attached to it, the people who've invested, and have they got to be paid back?
Yeah, so I think we had about 130 individual investors invested in this. And in fact, these are contractual partners, right? Beehive provides a peer-to-peer lending platform, so we're not directly contracting with the platform, but we're contracting with individual investors. But of course, the platform provides the administrative handling. So instead of having to pay and to talk to 130 individual investors, we get the money from Beehive and we pay Beehive back and they distribute it.
Looking down the list of donors, if you like, how many of them are companies and how many individuals?
At the moment, these are all individuals. Beehive is, as I understand, very close to bringing some institutional investors on board. But at the moment, these are all individuals. But one thing to say here is these are not donors, right? We do have to pay them back with an interest rate. And I think that's different from some of the other crowdfunding sites, out there like Kickstarter, which are really a different ballgame.
What kind of security do the people who've lent you money get? I mean, if it all goes horribly wrong, do you have to take your solar panels and start fixing them to people's roofs? How does it work?
Well, that would be an interesting option. We haven't thought about that. I think the standard way of doing this is that, number one, first we provide our financials. In fact, Beehive conducts has a rating system, right? So we're rated on that. The first thing is simply a check of the business. If our business runs, no problem. Secondly, of course, the company provides guarantees. Ultimately, there are personal guarantees behind this. So it's a three-stage, if you want, security thing.
You said at the beginning, I think you said that you didn't approach the banks because you knew you wouldn't get finance.
Well, we have approached banks. In fact, several of the last couple of years, you get two categories. The majority of them simply won't talk to you as a young company unless you have multiple years with your trade license and financial, forget it. The second category are those that fall in the category of elsewhere usury, right? A flat rate of 18% means interest rates of 23%, for example. That's an offer that I've had on the table.
Obviously, a lot of corporates would have a credit rating, which might help their approval at the bank. But I was interested to find out whether or not, once you've got crowdfunding money, they might use that as a seal of approval. If you go back to the bank, they might take a second and longer look at your company.
That was, in fact, one of the reasons why we did this. It's not like we couldn't have raised $1 million dirhams or even $1 million privately. We've raised much more money privately in equity. But the problem with that is not visible. It doesn't provide a benchmark. And one of the side benefits, if you want, of going on this type of crowdfunding platform is that you get a lot of visibility, social media, you get a funding benchmark. All of those things are positive aspects that a startup is always appreciative of.
You mentioned interest rates a few minutes ago, and there's a really interesting way that the interest rates are calculated on Beehive, aren't they?
Well, actually, it's fairly straightforward. This is a fully amortizing loan over 18 months, which is actually very transparent, right? The auction rate ended up at about 10.8%, which A is better than what we could from the bank, and that's actually the full, that's an APR. That is in contrast to what is being flogged, I want to say, by a lot of other finance providers, which is some kind of a flat rate that if you actually calculate a full annual interest rate is much higher.
I could be wrong, but doesn't the interest rate go down the more interest that you have during the auction?
Ah, sorry, that's how you bid. Yes, this is a reverse auction system. So the way this works on Beehive is you put up a requested amount. In our case, that was $1 million dirhams. Then people bid the interest rate and the amount that they would like to put in. So we filled up the original 1 million dirham buckets within 4 or 5 days, but at a fairly high interest rate. So initially it was 15.5 or something like that percent. And then as more people bid, they kick each other out, right? So if somebody bids 50,000 dirhams at 14%, then the last person who had bid 15 will get kicked out and so forth. So that over the time period of the auction, which is about 2 weeks, brings down the interest rate, and we ended up with about 10.8% in the end.
But moving back away from the finance, back to your actual product, I mean, diesel generators may be dirty, as you said earlier, but they can run machinery and ACs on a constant basis. And one of the reasons we've always been given for the sort of lack of take-up of solar panels on domestic roofs is because they can't power the ACs year-round. Is this a new technology, and are we getting closer to the point where we can see solar power running ACs efficiently?
Well, I think solar can power pretty much anything from a scale perspective.
As you
just
saw
800 megawatts.
Yeah.
Exactly. This is just the space question, right? On an individual roof in Dubai, you have two problems. Number one, you have a lot of ACs on the roof where they take up the space that where you could put the panels. More importantly, it's a question of economics. The power prices in Dubai are block tariffs. That means in a residential home, particularly in winter, you pay much less than you would in summer, and you pay in any case much less than you pay for diesel generated power. So this has more to do with economics than with technical parameters. We power industrial equipment. We power large staff accommodation. In fact, our largest system is about 10 megawatts right now. So we can provide power to very large things, provided that there's enough space. And you talked earlier about Jebel Ali and about the industrial free zones. If you compare, for example, the space that a warehouse has compared to their power requirements, you can easily power a warehouse on solar.
Unfortunately, we have to leave it there this morning. Daniel Zivietz is the CEO of Enerwhere. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.